Well, it's Wednesday. That's the day we talk about food on The Takeaway. You know, Celeste, Jewish culture is about 5,000 years old.
It is.
But Chinese culture is only about 4,000 years old. You know what
means? I think that's splitting hairs.
It means the Jews had to go for 1,000 years without a Chinese restaurant.
Oh, my God. What did they do on December 25th?
That's a terrible joke, and I've always, always loved it. Today, we want to look at the unique relationship that Jewish people have with Chinese food. I certainly grew up in my own family. We had traditions. Now, we didn't grow up in the big city, but the rest of my family did, and most Christmases, we were out eating Chinese food, and then it's off to the movies. Well, Jennifer Eight-Lee is author of The Fortune Cookie Chronicle. She's here in the studio. She's brought the food. She's brought some kosher Chinese food with her. Jennifer, how you doing?
I'm great.
So you like to say that chow mein is the Chinese food, is the chosen food of the chosen people, certainly the Chinese food of the chosen people. Mm-hmm. Is this just a myth? I mean, we ate Chinese food in my Jewish family, but is this a myth, or is there some real cultural synergy between Chinese people and Jews that makes this all possible?
Oh, it's huge. I actually argue in my book that Chinese food is actually the ethnic cuisine of American Jews, because in a way they identify with it so much more than the immigrant cuisine of their Eastern European ancestors. Like, if you talk about gefilte fish versus, you know, like General's House chicken or beef with broccoli, you know, which do you eat more often? I think it's sort of really obvious. And it's actually something that's pretty significant, because there are when I was researching, I found two academic papers written actually on the relationship between Chinese food and American Jews, and it was so startling to see like that. That's twice as much research as any other single topic that I found while researching Chinese food. And what's really distinctive is actually it's specifically an American Jewish relationship. Like, if you go to Israel, for example, there's not the same kind of density of Chinese restaurants and like quote unquote like, you know, Jewish neighborhoods. And if you go to even England, for example, or South Africa, which have significant Jewish populations, you don't see that same kind of relationship.
So what are we talking about here? Are we talking about traditionally Chinese immigrant populations, Jewish immigrant populations living in the same neighborhoods, in this case maybe the Lower East Side in New York, or is it that Chinese restaurants were open on Sundays when the
right.
Jews had nothing to do because the Christians were in church?
Right. So I think that there are a couple of reasons that this relationship probably developed, one of which is Chinese and Jews are the two largest non-Christian immigrant groups to America. So Chinese restaurants are open when Jews wanted to go out to eat. Now, you know, in modern-day society, when we have 24-hour ATMs, it's kind of hard to remember that once upon a time things just shut down
right.
on Sunday, you know, but Chinese restaurants are always open, and, you know, on Christmas and Sunday. So if you wanted to go out to eat, the Chinese restaurant was always there. Another really significant thing is that Chinese food doesn't use dairy. And so, you know, three generations ago, when many, many, many more Jewish people kept kosher, you knew you could go out without being able to mix meat and milk, which is sort of what people want to do. Whereas Mexican food and Italian food, the other main ethnic foods, both use dairy.
But Chinese food uses soy sauce.
Chinese food does use soy sauce, which becomes an issue. I discovered this at Passover because – and this was like startling
to
me.
Not to mention the noodles and everything else.
Yeah,
they're
the
out
noodles.
Of Passover. Yeah.
They're totally out of Passover. But did you know they actually make wheat – okay, so soy sauce – the reason soy sauce is like not so cool is because of obviously both the wheat and the soy. But there is – I actually discovered in the Upper West Side, like, you know – kosher for Passover soy sauce that you can buy in some of like the Jewish food stores.
Have you tasted it?
Yes, and it tastes like salt water, but that's okay. It looks, I mean, psychologically, I think for some people, it actually feels
you know,
fine.
You do a lot to do the substitutions that you can
do
around
Passover.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's
Passover, right? What are you going to do?
All right, so Jennifer Eight-Lee, you didn't disappoint. We've got the food in here now. I'm holding up this egg roll. What am I eating here special for the Jews at Christmas?
It is, it is actually a pastrami egg roll.
Oh, best of both worlds, in
best
other words?
Best of both worlds, uh-huh. And, you know, sort of from Eat and Walk, which was a kosher Chinese restaurant. So you can actually get it all year round, not just at Christmas.
I'm sorry, Eat and Walk?
Eat and Walk.
Eden, as in
like
the Garden
Adam
of,
and Eve, yeah. Like
as
Adam
in the
and
Old
Eve.
Testament.
Mm-hmm, as in the Old Testament.
So there's got to be a tradition of creatively named kosher Chinese food
stores.
Oh, huge,
yes, completely. So you obviously you have Eat and Walk, which is in New York very, very popular. Among my other favorites are in Brooklyn. So New York City, you know, New York City, L.A. are sort of like the main places for
There's
this.
Jews in New York City?
There are Jews in New York. 12% of everyone
wow.
in the city is Jewish.
Wow.
I learned that, like, you know, doing some
Well, if nothing else,
research.
It's a revenue stream for the
yes.
Chinese restaurants. All right, what other names? I want to hear that. Yeah.
Shanghai. which is out in Brooklyn.
Shanghai.
Shanghai.
Yeah.
Shanghai.
Yeah.
Hi. So hi means life.
Yep.
I like this one in Queens, Chosun, which, you know, is a play on the chosen people.
Chosun.
And my favorite, actually, is in L.A., which is actually not, it's not kosher, but it's called Genghis Cohen.
See, the names are almost enough. It's,
yeah, I mean, you just have to say that.
Go.
Yeah, that's just that alone, I think, will get to laugh, especially that whole entire stream. And so, it's great because, you know, it gets people in the door to a certain extent.
I noticed in an Orthodox neighborhood in New Jersey that I was in, where my grandmother used to live, there are two vegetarian Chinese places, no meat at all, which is not only, you know, the Jews already have their affinity for Chinese food, mm-hmm. but the kosher issue, there's no pork, and the kosher issue is not an issue. It's all vegetarian, mm-hmm. so that's got to help as well.
Yeah, there's a tradition also in Chinese cuisine of Buddhist Chinese cuisine oftentimes is vegetarian all time, you know, all across the board. And Taiwan has fantastic vegetarian Chinese Buddhist buffets.
Mm. Sorry, I have to outro you, but I have this pastrami egg roll in my mouth. It's delicious.
Well, you also should try a Chinese hot dog, which of course is a beef hot dog on the inside, but also a Chinese egg roll skin on the outside. Highly recommend it.
Food for thought for this Christmas and next. Jennifer Eightley is author of the book The Fortune Cookie Chronicles, chronicling the love affair between the chosen people and their chosen food. That's Chinese food. Jennifer, thanks.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.